First of all, thank you. It's a joy and honor and a privilege to be here with you today. And thank you, Pastor, for those kind words and for you all for being here today as we come together in this sanctuary to get refed, re-energized in this battle of life. I bring you greetings from those chaplains that are all over the world right now. We do have about 8 deployed. And literally, we have a chaplain at the North Pole and a chaplain at the South Pole. Is that cool or what? See what I did there? That's awesome. Surrounding the globe. But it's a great opportunity because they are in every clime and every place to bring the Word of God to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. And again, I want to thank you veterans who were acknowledged earlier, and also you family members of veterans, because it takes a sacrifice of a family to serve in this capacity, in this vocation. So thank you. And so it's very appropriate that Pastor let me be a free texter today. What that means is I got to pick the Bible verse. And of course, I picked Ephesians 6, which is all about war. And I want you to take close attention, and I hope that you unpack this more in your personal family devotions as you leave here today, that maybe this will whet your appetite for unpacking this beautiful Word of God that comes to us today. Because you and I know that we are in the church militant. That means we are in a battle. The devil is our enemy, as our text clearly says. And as we in our church year get ready for Advent, we're going to celebrate the coming of Christ's child the first time, but we also always kind of look forward to his second coming. And at the end of the year, we talk about the church militant as we look forward to the church triumphant. But I know you're in a battle, so I'm going to ask you right up front, are you ready? How are you doing? How are things going in your spiritual battlefield? Do you have what it takes to sustain you? Maybe you're going through a broken relationship right now with your spouse, or maybe it's a very heated or controversial relationship with your children or grandchildren, or maybe with your coworkers, or maybe there's just some sick sin that's inside, a pet sin that you struggle with every day. You try to overcome it, but you just can't. And you know that if your family knew or your friends or coworkers knew, you would be ashamed, as you are ashamed of the guilt of that sin that eats away at you, whether it's a thought, word, or deed. Well, my friends, that's the devil working. That's our enemy, as Paul declares clearly, that our battle is a spiritual battle against the devil, who is a schemer and a liar. One of the big tactics of any kind of warfare or armed forces is you have to know your enemy. You have to know their tactics. You have to know what they're all about, what drives them. And Paul is revealing to you and to me today the tactics of our enemy, the devil. He will work and attack and attack and attack until he finds the chink in your armor, because his number one goal is to get you into hell with him. That's what it is, to get you from the cross of Christ, to get you to feel hopeless and helpless, to get you to abandon your Lord Jesus Christ, to say that there is nothing else I can do. I give up. How can God love me? Look at all those bad things that I've done. Look what I've done in my past, the guilt and the shame. Those are the lies of the devil. So Paul comes to rescue us and remind us that we are prepared for this battle because God has given us the armor we need to sustain us on this battlefield of life. Each piece of this battle gear, this armor, is critical. But first of all, we have to not overlook that it is God's armor given to us. It's not my armor. It's not your pastor's armor. It's not your family's armor. This is God's armor that he gives to you to use and to wear in the battlefield of life. Because if it was your armor, if you try to do this on your own, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, you're going to fail. The enemy will find a chink in your armor. On the real battlefield, how many service members have we lost in combat? Even though we got them the best armor money could buy, they trained and trained and trained some more. But the enemy found a chink in their armor. Maybe it was some kind of a fluke, but they were killed or wounded. That's how it is with human armor. But with the armor of God, He has got us ready. He has given us the equipment, the training that we need. You know, someone once wrote that Abraham Lincoln said that if you give me a tree to chop down and you give me 5 hours, the first 3 hours I will use to sharpen the axe. And the Navy SEAL's motto was, the only easy day is yesterday. It's constantly training and training and getting ready for battle. So my prayer for you is, after you finish today in this worship service, when you go home and unpack this Bible passage, you will continually, daily, put on the armor of God. So let's take a look at these pieces of gear that God gives us in our battle. First of all, let's look at the belt of truth. Now, the truth today is really pretty much anything you want it to be, is it not? There is no absolute truth we hear. You have your truth, I have my truth, someone else has their truth. But in reality, we as Christians who believe the Word of God, the Bible, we know what absolute truth looks like. We know that God, who cannot lie, has promised us eternal life. That is the truth that holds all this battle gear together. That belt of truth is critical because that keeps us centered on what really matters. That God, who cannot lie, has given us His word that we are saved, that He will provide us with the armor that we need. So that belt of truth is nothing to just laugh at or to think lightly of. It's an important part of your battle gear to remind you that you do have truth. People ask, what is truth? Well, we got all kinds of answers, but we know where to go for the truth, the Word of God, the belt that holds our gear together. And then we have the breastplate of righteousness, the flak jacket that God gives you in your spiritual battle. Because, you know, the devil is right when he whispers in your ear that you are a poor, miserable sinner, is he not? We said that this morning before, when we did our little confession, before we heard the words of absolution. We admit that we are unholy, that we have filthy rags, that our righteousness is no good. We are sinners, and the soul that sins, it shall die. We know that the law crushes us and reminds us that we are going to go to hell. We can't live a perfect life. But then this reminds us that God, in His mercy, reached down into the muck and mire of our sinfulness and made us His children. And for many of you, that was at your baptism, where He gave you and exchanged His robe, His breastplate of righteousness, for your sinfulness. For some of you, it was when you heard the gospel for the first time, and God made that great exchange, and the answer was there. It's not about me, it's about God for me, and He gave me this breastplate of righteousness. So when the devil, your scheming liar, says those things to you, you can call him out. You can say, yes, I am a sinner, but I have the righteousness of Christ, my breastplate of righteousness that will stop you from attacking those important vital organs in my body, in my spiritual soul. I have hope, I have faith, which is the other piece of gear, the shield of faith. You have all seen the movies with the shield and how important it is for the younger generation. Maybe it's Captain America. That shield is a pretty important item for him in battle and warfare, is it not? He uses it as an offensive weapon and as a defensive weapon. Paul is reminding us that for the soldier, the spiritual soldier like you and me, our shield is our faith. A faith that could be as small as a mustard seed and yet move a mountain. The faith that God gave to you in your baptism, that continues to give to you through His word as you read it and mark it and learn it. That faith that He gives you that clings to Christ through all the difficult tragedies that face you, that come to you as the devil attacks you over and over again, you cling to Christ. That faith which God sustains and strengthens as you come again today to receive His body and blood. For what? For the strengthening of your faith. That shield that you need to stop the fiery darts that the devil throws your way. And then we have the helmet of salvation. This one seems so simple. As we know, Kevlar, or a helmet, is very important as it protects our noggin, if you will. But what is Paul really telling us here as the helmet of salvation? Well, it's that salvation of knowing, or that helmet that reminds us that we are saved in the end, that this is ours. God has given it to us by His grace for Christ's sake through faith. And when you put on that helmet of salvation, you know that you are saved and a child of God, and that no matter what the devil, the world, or your sinful flesh throw at you, you know the end of the story. You are saved. You are redeemed by Christ. And then probably the best weapon that He gives us is the sword of the Spirit, which He reminds us in our text is the Word of God. That two-edged sword, an offensive and a defensive weapon that our Lord gives to us, such a valuable piece of weaponry that God gives to you and me that we dare not take it for granted. You need to continue with your personal Bible study and devotions. You need to have family devotions to keep yourself strong, spiritually strong. That you need to read, mark, learn, and as our old collect of the prayer used to say, inwardly digest the Word of God. Because it is the sword of the Spirit that you can pierce Him when He comes to you with His lies and temptations. Remember, Jesus Himself used that when He was in the wilderness. That's how He defeated the devil, with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and stuck him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." And as Martin Luther in that famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress," says, "One little word can fell him." The Word of God is a powerful tool. We can't take it for granted. We need to memorize it, to read it, to study it, to embrace it, because there we find the strength and the assurances of God. That two-edged sword of the Spirit is critical. And then one piece of gear in our text that we read, and says, "With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Now, many of you in your Sunday school days, when you studied the sword of the Spirit, saw the Roman soldier, and they had arrows pointing to all the gear and the combat gear, but maybe sometimes they'd have a little arrow to the shoes that the soldier was wearing. But for those of you who raised your hand and served in the military, you know it's always about what? Boots on the ground, isn't it? It's about the infantry, the dog soldier, those who are in the front lines. Because as our text even tells us, look at all the references to stand your ground, stand firm, hold the line. And to do that, you need good footwear. You have to take care of your feet. And so Paul does not forget about that. And it's just beautiful how he says the feet fitted with the readiness to be ready that comes from the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of peace, the peace which passes all understanding, the peace of knowing that you are saved, the peace of knowing that you are forgiven, the peace of knowing that no matter how many sins you have committed, they died on the cross with Christ. No matter what illness, disease you are fighting and struggling with, no matter what relationship issues you have, at the end of the day, when you remember this, you have peace, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. What a beautiful weaponry that God gives us to strap that on our feet, the readiness of the gospel, to be ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us. People see you and say, "How can you survive that? How can you keep a good attitude about that? Look what's happening to you. How do you keep smiling? How do you keep reassuring and knowing that you're going to be saved?" And you say, "Because I have the peace of God, of knowing that I am saved by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith." And that is the namesake of your church. Peace, Lutheran. Peace. What a powerful word that we say in so many of our songs, so many of our hymns, so much of our liturgy. Unpack that word. What does it really mean to have peace? It's a peace the world cannot give, but a peace which God gives to you. So strap those shoes on, the gospel of peace. So my friends, I want you to do, when you go back every morning, put on your battle rattle, your gear. Put on your shoes, the gospel of the readiness of peace. Put on your helmet of salvation. Put on your breastplate of righteousness. Strap on that belt of truth. Hang on to that sword of the Spirit, and you're ready to take on the world. So as I started this message this morning, I asked you, are you ready? Are you ready for the battlefield of life? Are you ready for that bad news when the doctor tells you you have an incurable disease? Are you ready for that bad news when someone knocks at your door and says your loved one has died? Are you ready for those temptations in the middle of the night that you think that no one else knows about to fight those battles? The answer is yes. Yes, you are ready because God has made you ready. He has given you the battle rattle you need, His armor. You are saved and you are ready by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith. So, dear friends, now may that peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.